The upcoming 59th Six Nations general election will take place on November 4th. And joining me on the show today to talk about his campaign is one of the two candidates running for Six Nations elected chief, and that is former Six Nations chief Steve Williams. So thank you for joining me today, Steve.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
I was wondering if you could start by telling our listeners a little bit about yourself and your background and any experience you have or qualifications that you feel makes you a fitting candidate for the Six Nations chief.
First of all, my name is Steve Williams. I'm actually a Mohawk Wolf Clan. I've been chief before. I've met with ministers before. I'm still meeting with ministers today. I sit on Chiefs of Committee, Chiefs of Ontario committees, AFN committees. So I'm meeting with a lot of ministers. I'm supposed to have, I got invited to the Chinese ambassadors function next week. So I can talk to people at that level. So I'm not afraid to be able to do that. And I still think I have a lot of connections within the government to be able to get things that we need for Six Nations. I was just disappointed that, you know, this sitting council hasn't done anything really, realistically. And I think that's what's made me frustrated and said, well, I better do something because I love this community. I don't want to see it going down a hill.
And can you detail why politics have become such a big part of your life and just why you wanted to run for the chief in this election?
Well, I love this community. I've always loved politics. That's why I'm still involved in a lot of committees. I sit on 9 other boards as well, besides the GRE company. I'm going to take a leave of absence from that to be able to focus my time on as chief if I get elected. And I've always liked politics. I think it's a great way for us, the Six Nations, to move forward. Right now, there's no voice for Six Nations anywhere across Canada, which is unfortunate. But I think, again, next year we're going to have the trust accounts coming up. Hopefully, I want to be able to set up a committee with the maybe 3 chiefs from Confederacy and from Six Nations Council and sit down and say, what do we need for this community? With our techs, obviously. And say, what do we need? Let's go to the government together and tell them this is what we want for our community. If both the Confederacy and Band Council can get together, the governments can't stop us. They're just afraid to have that because they'd like to split us up. And I think with me being there and very vocal on both sides, I think I could help a lot for the community.
And what do you believe the top priorities for the community are and how do you plan to address those?
Well, right now, I think the top priority is getting the roads finished, which was a mess for 4 years. Continue with the water line because not all the reserve have the water lines and people that hook up to the water line. There's got to be something we can be able to do to help them in that area, as well as the seniors can't hook up to the water lines, right? Then they don't have any money to be able to pay $8,000 or $10,000 to hook up to their house. So we've got to come up with a plan to be able to do that. And I think through the land negotiations next year, I think we can account for money for that, be able to do that. Plus, the housing issue has always been a big issue. There's not enough housing. There's, homelessness people here. You know, if they're our own members, I think we should be looking after them. If there's somebody else's members then or non-Native members living here homeless, that shouldn't be an issue for us, but we still got to try to correct that issue. Right now, we have a lot of issues within the reserve that we have to kind of correct over the next 4 years if I get elected. And I think we can do it. I want to be able to work with this council and because there's going to be 12 councillors this time, so hopefully we can all get this stuff done. And I want to make sure we have more accountability for the chief and the councillors as well. Right now, the councillors, I don't think, have much accountability at all. You know, they can go to meetings, not show up, and still get paid and come back and say, nothing. And nobody holds them accountable, even council. And that's what happened with the last one as well. I think that's one of the biggest issues. They just weren't participating like they should be.
And so talking about the current council's operations, do you see anything that you would like to change or anything like that in terms of if you are elected?
Right now, I think council has way too many employees. There are almost 1,000 employees, and I don't know where they are. I don't know if they're working from home or where, which offices they are because I don't see them. And I think that's some of the issues we got to deal with. One of the issues that got me was the housing now is pushing the provincial building code. We have the federal building code. And I don't know why they're pushing the provincial one. And a lot of things here are now trying to push provincial codes on us. And I said, why are we doing that? We're federal. We got to continue being federal. You're just trying to make us a municipality. And I don't want to be a municipality where people have to then start paying taxes. Right? So that's not going to happen. That's why I want to correct all these problems.
And in terms of engaging residents in the decision-making process, how are you planning to include them, I guess?
Well, I'm going to open up the community meetings again, council meetings for the community to say something. And, you know, it's not going to be free-for-all for everybody. I think, if you have a concern or a question, then fine, present it to us. I think the staff they weren't allowed before to go to council and make comments or complaints. So that's going to be back open. Like, council should be there for any band member wants to come in and say something. You know, sure, they might have to go through their supervisor sometimes, but if they're staff, then they have a complaint or they want to talk to us, then they should be able to get to us. And I think that's, right now, they've been closed out of that idea, so they haven't been able to do that. You know, their council's in court trying to fight jurisdiction on unions. Like, there should be no unions here. We never had them, and we shouldn't allow them. But now they're trying to find out if they have jurisdiction. Like, why would you even think that, going to court for that? The judge ain't going to recognize it. So I think, you know, we have to either say, look, if you want to bring a union here, come on down and we'll throw you in our jail ourselves.
And so these next questions, they're just on a couple of different sectors within the community. So if you could give brief answers on how you would address them. So firstly, do you have any strategies in mind for promoting economic development and job growth in the community?
Yes, that's one area that I really want to focus on. ECDEV has always been my favorite. When I was chief before, and a counselor, I was economic development chairman. And I think we have to be able to get that going. There's so much opportunity out there. But right now, I don't think ECDEV is doing much to promoting more businesses and things other than their log cabin stuff. But I mean, you know, we've got to get more things in there. I don't know why we don't have a solar plant here, for example, solar panels for roofs, because hydro is getting so costly. You know, I don't know why we aren't running that ourselves and installing it for our people.
And then the next one, how do you plan on addressing, you talked about the road issue, how do you plan on addressing the maintenance of local infrastructure and roads and utilities and any public services?
Well, right now, I think, like I said before, with the trust coming next year, we can negotiate some kind of funding issue to be able to cover all the O&M that we have.
Yep.
Right now, council, within their audits, you know, they've got, it shows that they're in a surplus, which they aren't. They're always in deficit. But because they put, you know, band buildings in their audit, like the arena, the band office, those aren't assets. Those are liabilities, but they have it as an asset. The government said, look, they're not in debt because they got all those assets. Well, who's going to buy a band office or arena on a reserve? You know, it makes no sense. Why take them out and show what the real deficits are?
And then lastly, what steps will you take to promote environmental sustainability and address issues like pollution, climate change, and other things within the conservation?
Well, we've got to look at all of these trucks that are coming to the reserve and see what they're hauling. And I think that's something we got to really deal with, because right now you don't know what they're bringing in. And even when we dig up our own, I understand people are complaining when we dig up our own land. And they dump it someplace. They say, oh, it's contaminated. Well, it can't be contaminated. It came from Six Nations. It's going to another part of Six Nations. So I think it's more education for people to see what it actually is. But I have no problem being open about it. If, you know, and if the individual members want to be able to, you know, a lot of it was just make money. Let's bring in this dirt from somewhere, and then you will get paid for it. And I think that's the wrong attitude to have, because some of the sites that they brought in, there's nothing growing on it.
And in terms of obstacles or challenges, what do you think is the biggest challenge Six Nations is currently facing?
There's a number of them. Yeah. But I think one of the big things is we've got to start meeting with the mayors of all the areas around us, because we have to have agreements how we're going to operate together, because we can't continue going through this, you know, land disputes all the time. It's not the municipality's fault. It's the province's and the Fed's responsibility. So we have to do it together, work together with them to be able to say, let's get this dealt with properly so we don't always have these disputes. And that way you can get development moving, both sides. And I think that's what we have to focus on.
And just lastly, before we get you out of here, can you summarize why you believe you are the best candidate for this position of Six Nations Chief, and why our listeners should vote for you?
Well, I always feel, I don't know if I should say this, but I am the best candidate for the position. Like I said, I've been in politics since 91 or 85, I guess. And I'm still part of the politics. I still go to ministers. I met with the regional chief yesterday. He's already got portfolio system if I get elected chief. So, I mean, you know, I think I can stand at that level with the ministers and argue with them what Six Nations needs and what we are going to be doing. I told the mayors already, if I don't have a problem, meet with you, but we're not going to be pushed over. We're going to work together on these issues. And I think that's, if you can't talk to them like that, then you're not the right chief there. You've got to have somebody that can talk to them and go forward with what the ideas of the community wants.
All right, Steve, I want to thank you again for doing this, and best of luck this coming November 4th, I guess, for the general election.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I've enjoyed this.